teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. You can have Will Levis at 2. You can have Anthony Richardson at 2. You can trade the 33rd pick for Trey Lance. 713-780-ESPN. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Let's go to the HRP listener line for our guy Julian, who's in Kentucky. Julian, you're in the hive of the Killer Bees. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Yes, in Kentucky right now, heading to Alabama. I'm going everywhere right now.
Julian, you taking showers in the rain in Kentucky?
Hope he's showering in bourbon.
I was actually in West Virginia.
I know that shower was in Virginia. I just thought you made it the norm now. You just carried a bar of soap and just got out in a thunderstorm.
Hey, look, if it happens, bro, it happens. I'll take a clean shower however I can get it.
All right.
So Levis at 2, huge reach. Richardson, I wouldn't even pick that cat in the first round. I don't give a damn how talented he is. You can't hit a barn door with a football. Then it leaves us with Trey, my boy Trey. For 33, it might be a little too rich in my blood, but out of the three choices, that's what I would take. He knows the system. He's still athletic. He's Richardson, right? He's probably, isn't he like the same age as Richardson? He's been in the NFL system.
We lose him?
Yeah, maybe.
The only thing I have to say bad about Trey Lance, his hairline is just, he needs to just go ahead and get a haircut, bro.
Yeah. Who's your guy?
There's a lot of people hanging on his haircut.
Appreciate the call, Julian. Be safe. Go bathe in bourbon.
That'd be great. Trey Lance comes and gets hooked up with Doc Linville. Problem solved.
Be fixed like that. And then bring James Harden into town in the offseason.
That's what I said.
We
got strip clubs. We got a guy that's got his jersey hanging in him
that
can show him the ropes. I mean, we've got everything this guy needs to right the ship.
Lab Dance Lance wants to be in Houston. I know he's a good quarterback in Houston. 5535, I have a friend that plays for the 49ers. I can't name names, but he said Purdy is light years ahead of Lance. Also that Lance has a bit of entitlement issue. May just be an opinion, but it's from someone pretty close.
I got a guess.
Good to have D'Amico Ryans listening to the
Killer Bees. No, I got a guess.
Who it is?
Yeah. Who the player he's talking about is.
We can talk about it during the break.
All right.
Twitch.tv/ESPN975. 713-780-ESPN. Okay, Ron's not playing along. You can have Levis at 2. You can have Anthony Richardson at 2. You can have Trey Lance for pick 33. Let's go back out to the HRP listener line. Ron, you going Levis, Richardson, or Lance?
Hello, gentlemen. I'm going to go neither on that. I think that if you're going to go quarterback and you're going to trade out for one, I think that Mr. Alzheimer's up there in New England, I think that's what he's suffering from. I think you could snatch mac and cheese right out of there for next to nothing. And I think that because he is a more seasoned quarterback and the fact that he had a defensive coordinator calling his offensive calls, which is why he regressed, I think that you would be a lot better off with him. And then you could take that scenario that if you gave the 2 out, you would get mac and cheese, you would probably get another offensive lineman and then probably another pick, and you could build the team. You want to build the team out. I think that would be the better way to go. I don't think Trey Lance is worth anything.
Appreciate it, Ron.
I'm not giving the 2 up for mac and cheese.
I think he said pick 33.
Instead of
giving 33 for Trey Lance, this is along the same vein of trading for a promising quarterback, former first rounder. Maybe you can get him for a better rate than when he was drafted. You trade pick 33 for Mac Jones. That's a lot. I think Mac Jones is the safer play over Trey Lance, to be quite honest with you. But Mac Jones, I think, is a better version of Brock Purdy. Mac Jones had a good rookie year.
First year.
He had a really good rookie year, and he's right.
Are you drafting him to be the bridge?
I think he can be a franchise quarterback in the right team.
But this is the AFC.
Yeah.
We talked about how good the upper echelon is. I don't know if that's what you want to hang your hat on.
If San Francisco was in the AFC, could San Francisco be an AFC champion?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's fair. I'm not sure I believe it either.
I don't think so.
So if you believe that, because I think Mac Jones is a better version of Brock.
Because I think against really good quarterbacks, and I go back to that Mahomes-Allen type game and those type games, you're going to need a guy in a shootout that's going to be able to execute some big plays too and some passes and do some things that I don't think that Purdy's capable of doing.
And even if it's not every game, you still, even if you're the number one seed in the AFC, you still have to win the divisional round, the conference championship, and the Super Bowl. So it might not be every game where you have to win a shootout, but very likely right. it's one
of
three.
One or two of those, yeah.
Yeah, very likely one of the three is going to have to be a game where you put it on the shoulders of your quarterback. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Levis at two, Richardson at two, or you can trade 33 for Lap Dance Lance. Brandon T. says, Will Levis... Brandon T, just me and him, seem to be the only one that would be on the Levis train here. 5044, trading for Trey Lance would be a D'Amico Ryans decision all the way, right? Yeah. I mean, you're not trading for Trey Lance unless D'Amico Ryans
gives you
his seal of approval.
And Slowik, yeah.
And probably Slowik.
But they have to.
Absolutely.
Because while D'Amico's working with the defense, Slowik's with him on every single play and every rep and everything that he's seen in practice, he's going to know. Because some people are saying he's immature. Some people are saying, you know, he's entitled. Some people are saying, you know, he doesn't know the playbook. Well, then why would you trade for him? You're only doing this if the guys that used to work with him are committed to saying, we see something. It didn't work out in Frisco, but we see something that we believe we can work with.
Yeah, I can be sold on the idea, just not for 33. 5044, Trey Lance for 33rd pick. Take Will Anderson at 2 and a receiver at 12. What
I
do
like
you all
that.
Think?
I like that
so
a lot.
So now you're that was basically Joe's scenario, wasn't it? Where you take Anderson at 2, Jackson Smith and Jigba at 12, and then you have Trey Lance that's already there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
I think it makes the most sense. He was clarifying my take. I just said yes.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're looking at it from like the 5-year plan that we talk about, like, okay, what's the goal for the Texans? The goal is to be a Super Bowl contender in 5 years. It's hard for me to argue that this isn't the way to get there because either Trey Lance hits, he's your franchise quarterback, or Trey Lance misses. You still have Anderson, you still have Jackson Smith and Jigba, and you're in a position next year where you're still in a position to strike for quarterback.
This is the pathway to give yourself the most options. If Trey Lance all of a sudden finds it, great. And then you have to assess and evaluate how much does he have to give. I mean, what's the ceiling? But if he finds it and he looks pretty good, and then you sit yourself in the same position as you are now or maybe even one up, and you're looking at the top pick in the draft next year, and Caleb Williams is staring you in the face, so what? Now
yeah,
you've got options.
I think that, you know, having the number one pick next year with Trey Lance as your quarterback is an easy decision. If you draft a quarterback, it's not an easy decision.
No, it's not.
Because that player is going to have to be as bad as Josh Rosen. I mean, the Cardinals, for a million reasons, they knew they made a mistake. So if Will Levis comes in, he can play above average this year, and there's just a lack of talent, and just it's first-year head coach, first-year OC, and like you just don't win a lot of games. It's very possible, and then you're going to have a conundrum of, well, do we believe in Will Levis still, or do we try to move off and take Caleb Williams? And, I mean, honestly, like, that could be your best case scenario, is where you draft a franchise quarterback this year and you end up with the number one pick. I know that sounds crazy, because then you can have your choice, or you can do what the Bears did.
It's hard to win with a rookie quarterback too.
Exactly. So,
I don't think they're upset about.
Yeah, your top five next year is better than your top
five
this year.
Simply because, to Joe's point, a lot more pressure goes on you if you take a quarterback at two, because now the pressure is, did you get the right one? And is this quarterback going to succeed? And if they don't, it's squarely on the general manager's shoulders, and you're feeling the heat all over the place. Then if you do what the Cardinals did, there's even more heat, because in the short term, they're going to say, well, what the hell did you do a year ago that you're going to suddenly do this all over again? And then the third part of that is, what are you going to get for the quarterback from last year if you take the number one pick and use it on a quarterback next
year? And there is a big difference between like that idea of take a quarterback this year if it doesn't work and comparing it to Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen was the 10th pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not talking about the number two pick in the draft and then moving on after a season. Like, if they took a quarterback at 12, it's a different conversation.
Because conceivably, anybody in the top five should be not necessarily a franchise player.
Yeah.
But a steady starting player for you for years.
So I don't think you can go wrong here unless Davis Mills and Case Keenum are your quarterbacks next year. That to me is the only way that it feels not good.
It would feel awful.
What happens when Davis Mills wins five games next year?
You draft a quarterback.
And Drake May, and you have this fifth pick in the draft.
Yeah, I don't think you're having fifth pick with five wins though. I mean, that's top three pick there. Top three pick.
Yep. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, that's top three, top five for sure.
Who's seriously? Because look, who are going to be worse than the Texans next year? No matter who they draft,
I can give you a million teams. Honestly,
yeah, the Bears for sure.
Oh, the Bears are going to win the division.
My favorite to have the worst record next year in the NFL is the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals are going to be dreadful at the start of the
Kyler's
year.
Kyler's at, what, six?
Yeah, I think they're going to redshirt him. Yeah. I don't think he's going to play.
Buda Baker's
because
out.
Why would he?
Yeah, Buda Baker's to me in a trade. Hopkins wants out. Honestly, I think there's – the idea of, like, the Texans just having the number one pick next year, it seems is impossible almost. Like, you would need a lot of things to fall your way because I can probably give you 10 teams right now that could have the number one pick next year. If Jordan Love is awful, the Packers could be in it.
Oh, he's going to be good.
I'm
so intrigued by Jordan Love and Christian Watson.
What about Washington? You know, with Sam Howell.
You want my league pass?
Sure, I'll take it. I'm not opposed to watching free football.
No, all you get to watch is Packers.
Like the Panthers, the
Buccaneers.
I thought
they didn't have that this time.
No, I'm not. I'm just
my
saying.
Bad, Joe George.
No, it's fine. I'll just keep going. Like the Panthers, the Falcons, all these teams. Like, I don't agree, but the Bears would be in that conversation.
Yeah.
You know, it's and also, you know, you're a Matt Stafford injury away from them having the number one pick. And honestly, they're not going to be good anyways, probably.
Who's the Rams' backup quarterback?
Wofford?
Yeah,
is that who it was last year?
Well, it was until it wasn't, and now that quarterback has moved on to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Baker.
Baker Mayfield.
I learned the Chargers' backup quarterback the other day.
Chase Daniels.
No, he's gone.
Who's the Chargers' backup quarterback now?
A fellow by the name of Easton Stick.
What?
Is the current backup quarterback for the Los Angeles
Georgia
Chargers.
Georgia kid, right?
Is he from Georgia? I have no idea. I've never heard of Easton Stick until I learned he was the backup quarterback for the Los Angeles Chargers the other day. You remember him? I thought that was Easton. I thought Easton was the Georgia kid.
Maybe you're right.
Yeah, I don't think Easton Stick went to Georgia. I thought that was the – I don't know if Easton was his first name. I don't know if Easton was his last name, but I don't think it was Easton Stick.
It was his last name.
No, sure it was Easton?
Jacob Easton, right?
The Rams don't have a backup quarterback on their roster right now.
Didn't he go to Buffalo?
I just pulled it up. He went to close. Well,
North
not
Dakota
really.
State.
Not really close.
No. He went from Georgia to the Bills.
You're talking about Easton. That's not this guy.
Yeah, I'm talking about Easton.
This guy's a different Easton guy.
But Easton was with the Bills, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Easton Stick.
Was he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
North Dakota State.
Easton Stick, backup quarterback to Justin Herbert from North Dakota State. I wonder if he crossed paths with the – didn't Lap Dance Lance go to North Dakota State? I wonder if they –
Is that the red field?
I have no idea.
He would have.
I don't think so. I don't think North Dakota. I think it's Eastern Washington. I think it's Eastern Washington.
It's because he played one game in college his final year because of COVID.
Lance?
Yeah, and he played it on the red field, I believe. It was on ESPN.
Texans should be trading for Easton Stick. Solve their quarterback problems overnight.
What about Bailey Zappi?
You got people wanting us on the Twitch.
Shout out HCU.
Should the Texans draft trade for Bailey Zappi?
Former Houston Christian great. Actually, wasn't even Houston Christian then. Former Houston Baptist great, Bailey Zappi.
When he introduces himself when he's the starting quarterback this year on Monday Night Football, what does he say?
We played HBU in baseball yesterday. I just said HBU.
I saw that.
Their jerseys say HBU.
Still?
Their jerseys and their hats say HBU.
And your boy Burkman is coaching?
Yeah, he's coaching. Second year. It's the greatest switch hitter of our generation, offensively.
How do they not have those changes?
And they're still
yet?
HBU?
HCU? They're HCU. But right. Because they made the change like too late in the game.
They made it
for
real
them.
Quick, too.
They made the change too late in the game. Like, they did it at the calendar year, not the athletic year, so they couldn't get gear.
Oh.
Like, it totally makes sense. They couldn't get gear. It's unfortunate, but they just couldn't. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. All right. We're 8 days away from the first round of the NFL draft. We're going to have a new game for you all the way heading up until draft day coming up a week from tomorrow. Joe George is going to give us three different draft prospects. We have to say if the guy's a star, a starter, or a bust. Star, starter, bust with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, we were just talking about Trey Lance. We were talking about his hairline, at least you guys were. And I'm telling you about Doc Linville because he can help. If anybody comes to Houston and they need help with their hairline, we got to send them to Doc Linville because he gets results. He gets your hair back, and he does it with your own hair. He doesn't do it with sprays and creams and foams and things that mask the problem. He doesn't tell you to shave your head or give you a rug for it and say it looks so good that you can't get any these results anywhere else. No, he does the NeoGraft procedure, which is taking your own hair from genetically spots where you're never going to lose it. Sides in the back is always going to be there no matter what happens on top and in your hairline. And he's going to transplant some of that to where you need it most. And it's going to make a huge difference. Granada will tell you the same thing that I'm telling you. We got results. We saw Doc Linville. We went through with the process with neografting, and it works. It works for you, too. You want to make sure that you get all the answers before you see if it's right for you? You can set up an appointment for absolutely free. It normally costs $150, but because you listen to us here at ESPN 97.5, all you got to do is go to 975hair.com, set up an appointment. You meet with Doc Linville and his staff. It costs you absolutely nothing. There's no obligations. Ask all the questions. Get all the answers. Find out how long the procedure takes. Find out when you'll see the full results. The one that got me, 95%+ of the follicles moved are going to stay and grow and be with you for the long haul. That was the convincer for me. That's why I got it done. Check them out today. Tell them I sent you by. They're the good people at Doc Linville's office, 975hair.com.
Razor-sharp commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, it's time for our new favorite game. We're going to be doing this all the way up until draft day. Star, starter, bust. Joe George, our esteemed producer slash esteemed. Many other things.
Do I have to explain the rules for the olds?
For Joel? Yes.
And you know what? I don't need anybody capturing that picture, so I'm not doing it. But, boy, I got thoughts for you, Joe George.
All right. The rules of the game are simple. This is a spinoff on a game that typically dudes play. I'm talking about women. Mary F. Kill. That game. You know that game, Joel?
Continue, Joe George.
Okay, so I'm going to give you three players. One of them is a starter. One of them is a star. One of them is a bust. You cannot put one person in each category. You can't double up. Can't have two starters. One and one.
We get it, Joe.
I'm just making sure we know the rules.
Thank you. And the Hive can play
along.
Well,
you always change the rules on the fly anyway, so what difference does it make?
All right, here are your three players.
The Hive can play along. 713-780-3776.
Your three players for star, starter, bust. I tried to make this a special for Jeremy Branham. Will Anderson.
Oh, no.
Bryce Young. Will Levis.
Oh, we're going more, different positions here?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. This has got a wrinkle. I didn't think we were doing this.
Yeah,
star,
I didn't
want this. Starter, bust.
So one of them's a bust.
Oh, this
one's,
is hard.
So Will Anderson, Will Levis, Bryce Young.
Okay.
I'm going to go Will Anderson, star.
Okay.
Bryce Young, starter. Captain Mayo bust.
See, I knew that was easy for you, Joel. That was a softball. The real challenge is for
The one next to me.
So Will Anderson, Bryce Young,
maybe
Will
you
Levis.
Should go, Joe, because I think he's stewing.
No, I've got it. Okay. I'm done. I'm good. I wrote down the names to make sure that I remembered them all. 713-780-3776.
And who's old?
Will Anderson. I have ADD. I'm not old. I have ADD.
Oh, you're both.
But I am fat. 713-780-3776. Will Anderson, Will Levis, Bryce Young. Starter, star, bust. You can let us know what you think as well. All right, my star. I'm not backing away from this. When have you known me to be somebody that backs away or that toes the line or tries to hedge my
Whenever
bet?
Whenever you fight with Cody.
I never hedge my bet, ever. Will Levis. Will Levis is going to be the star of this draft, whether he's picked at 2, whether he's picked at 12, whether he falls to the second round like Bucky Brooks thinks he's going to do. Will Levis is going to be the star of this draft. I'm not going to say he's an apples-to-apples comparison to Josh Allen, but he's close. I'm not going to say he's an apples-to-apples comparison to Justin Herbert, but he's close. I'm not going to say he's an apples-to-apples comparison to Matthew Stafford, but he's close. Will Levis is going to be the star of this draft. I will rue the day for the next 15 years, and then when Will Levis is wearing the gold jacket in Canton, I'm going to be right there with him, and I expect to have a statue and a bust of myself made here at Gal Media. My starter is going to be Will Anderson. I don't think the floor on Will Anderson is very low. I think Will Anderson's going to be a really good NFL player. We're starting to hear more and more that there's not really a great edge rusher in this draft, but some solid edge rushers in this draft. I don't see Will Anderson being a bust. I don't see Will Anderson being bad at football. I think Will Anderson's going to be a nice, stable starter in the NFL for a good and long time, but it is not going to be on that upper echelon, top tier of defensive ends in the NFL. So Will Anderson is my starter, which leaves me Bryce Young. When have we seen a little itty-bitty wee quarterback dominate the NFL? I'll wait. We can wait all day. He's immediately going to be the smallest quarterback that currently plays in the NFL. Bryce Young is 2 inches shorter than Drew Brees.
But he's still itty-bitty.
Yeah, I'll give you. I'm not going to die on the Bryce Young little itty-bitty hill. Drew Brees also had an elite arm. Like, Bryce Young, There's some questions about the strength of his arm. Get a little bitty, wee quarterback who is very, very small and has a very average arm. Is this guy going to have great success in the NFL? He was at Alabama. Alabama had great players around him, more his second to last season than last season. But go look up his receivers 2 years ago, Jameson Williams and John Metchie. I could have thrown passes to those dudes and been very good. I could have dumped it off to Jahmyr Gibbs and had him run for a 50-yard touchdown and claim of me throwing a 50-yard TD. Will Levis is my star. Will Anderson is my starter. Bryce Young is a bust. At number one to Carolina.
I love it. I kind of figured that's where you would end up. I thought maybe there was a chance that you would put Will Anderson in the bus category.
I think he's going to be stable. I really do. I think he's going to be solid.
I think expectations may be too high because of where he's picked.
Yeah.
But I really believe that he's going to be good. I think he could be great.
It feels like worst case scenario, he's like a Chris Long, where Chris Long never lived up to the hype. Of being the number one pick. But he was a really good player, like throughout his NFL career. Like sometimes these guys don't reach that superstar potential, but they're good players.
Yeah, I think he's gonna be solid.
And it doesn't mean they're a bad draft pick either, just they're not what you wanted.
Probably like it's almost like Alex Smith. Like we were talking about that last week. Alex Smith was a good NFL quarterback. Was he a number one pick? No. He wasn't a number one pick, but he's a really good quarterback. What is yours, Joe George? Will Anderson, Bryce Young, Will Levis. Who's your starter? Who's your star? Who's your bust?
Star, Bryce Young. Starter, Will Anderson. Bust, Will Levis. Oh,
that's the popular answer. Most of the Twitchers are saying that, too. Budo is saying that Anderson's the star, Bryce is the starter, bust is Levis. I mean, it is what it is. 713-780-ESPN. Murph Dog says, Will Levis is what you get if Andy Dalton bred with a Neanderthal and you gave the baby some steroids. It's not a very nice thing to say about Will Levis.
Especially his mom.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's really mean.
I didn't even think about it from his mom's point of view. Battery Chuck says, Jeremy's answer, Levis is goat. What are y'all going to do when Levis is great, though?
I was just thinking the opposite.
Nothing.
What are you going to do if he craps the bed?
I'm going to say situation matters, that it's not a perfect, like going to college to the NFL is a very steep leap. It's very difficult to know what a good college quarterback is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I think it's very easy for me to talk that down. That'd be very easy.
I like Will Levis. Like I prefer C.J. Stroud. But if they take him, it means they believe in him, and at this point, you're just kind of stuck with what they decide.
I think anybody
and you hope for the best.
I think any player at two is a reach. Like any player, unless Bryce Young slides there to two, I think any player in this draft at number two is a reach. I think Stroud's a reach. I think Levis is a reach. I think Richardson's a reach. I think Tyree Wilson's a reach. I think Will Anderson's a reach. I think Jalen Carter's a stupid pick because the guy's a moron. It's what I think about number two. It's why I find it difficult to believe that the Texans are going to find a partner to trade out of two.
I don't disagree with you. I think they're stuck at two. And it's always such a crapshoot with the draft because you think about it a year ago, the quarterbacks weren't worthy of being first-round picks for the most part. Kenny Pickett maybe saved the day just a little by being a late first-round pick. This year, everybody thought, well, this is a totally different draft. You're going to have four great quarterbacks to choose from, or at least three great quarterbacks to choose from. You've got a totally different draft. But now you look at it a week and a half from the draft and you say, do we even know that we have any great players in this draft? Because I don't know that you do. And the one guy that might be the best suited to end up being a great NFL player has so much stuff going off the field that he's not going to be taken like the greatest player in this draft.
713-780-ESPN. Who is your star? Who is your starter? Who is your bust? Will Anderson, Bryce Young, Will Levis are your options. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Fred, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's up, Fred?
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Look, I'm trying to get out of Beaumont to head back to Houston, and so I was listening to you guys. Great listen, by the way.
Thank you.
And I've heard, you know, this guy, Levis, I've heard him mentioned so much the last 3 or 4 weeks. So, I'm in traffic, so I look him up on Wiki. Didn't do much of anything except back up some guy named Clifford at Penn State for 2 years. Started a year at Kentucky. I'm calling to find out why people are so high on or mentioning so much Will Levis, about 6'4", 232. What am I missing?
Yeah, genetically built to be an NFL quarterback. You missed that part, Fred. Thanks for calling. Thanks for the kind words.
Brett, Fred, whatever.
Here's, like, Tom Brady. Who did Tom Brady start over at Michigan? Like, look at the quarterbacks that were starting at Michigan over Tom Brady. Joe Burrow transferred out of Ohio State because he couldn't get a starting job. Now, there were some really good quarterbacks there. Make sure you say that
college
caveat.
College quarterbacks.
Facts. That's true.
Right.
See, Will Levis went to a pro, like, I don't really care about the first 2 years at Penn State. He was an underclassman behind some upperclassmen. Like,
McSorley was there at the time?
I don't remember who. No, it was Clifford. It was Clifford. I think Clifford was the quarterback.
I thought McSorley was a senior that year.
Maybe. I don't know the timeline of the Levis years so much at Penn State, other than just a few, like, highlights and stuff like that. But once he got to Kentucky, like, the dude was named the captain, like, 5 days after he transferred in. He won 10 games at Kentucky. Look at how many times Kentucky football has won 10 games in a single season. It's happened 3 times since the mid-70s. It's happened 2 times in the last 4 decades. So, like, Levis has won at higher levels at Kentucky than Bryce Young has won at Alabama. Bryce Young is the first Alabama quarterback to not win a national championship as quarterback number one. I forget the dude's name that I've been saying all the time. That was the last Alabama quarterback that hasn't won a national championship.
Oh, yeah.
But Bryce Young won at a lower rate from what is the Alabama. It was Blake Sims. Alabama is a perennial national title, a perennial national title champion. The last quarterback won at Alabama that didn't win a national title was Blake Sims. Bryce Young is the most recent. Will Levis winning 10 games at Kentucky is a big deal. His numbers, like, he doesn't wow you in volume because they were a slow, methodical, run-first, play-action team that ran pro style. Liam Cohen was the offensive coordinator at Kentucky, who was the offensive coordinator with the Rams last year, and they brought in a San Francisco guy to be the OC at Kentucky last season. So, like, he's not going to wow you in stats, but when you turn on the film, at least me, more 2021 than 2022, the stuff he does on a football field translates to the next level, in my opinion. He's got the size, he's got the arm, he's got the athleticism, he's been in a pro-style offense for the last couple of years, and I'm also a huge believer in a quarterback that is at a Power 5 school, but is like a mediocre Power 5 school that has elevated the program. I don't like quarterbacks from these blue blood programs that are basically living a country club lifestyle at the quarterback spot, like Stroud did, like Bryce Young did 2 years ago. Will Levis has had to earn everything he's gotten on a bad football team and took that team to new heights.
Look, I mean, and we can carry it on over after the break if you want, but I mean, then my rebuttal to you would be, wouldn't you rather have him being taken like 7, 8, or 9? Because we know that if you're an analytical type person, the chances for him to succeed if he's drafted at number 2 aren't as great as if he's drafted later on.
What?
Because you also did the deep dive on how many quarterbacks drafted in the top like 5 or top
sure.
2 have crapped the bed.
If Pat Mahomes was drafted 2, do you think Pat Mahomes is good though?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about that.
Okay, we'll see.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. You can tell us who are your star, who is your starter, who is your bust, Will Levis, Bryce Young, Will Anderson. How about a history lesson of Houston having a quarterback or edge rusher decision? The biggest Texans quarterback mistakes that they've ever made. What is yours? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Stuff happens. We know that. That's life. But you need good people by your side to help pick you up. We know that pipes break. Fires burn, water rises, winds blow, lightning strike, stuff happens. But when it does, Pinnacle Construction and owner Doug Johnson are here to help you out. Anything that you would file a claim over, Pinnacle Construction can help you. From fires to freezes to flooding, we get a lot of that in Houston, even the freezing. Pinnacle is there to help you get back to normal. They're on the vendor list with all of the top insurance companies and will help get you an agreed cost of repairs while working for you. They're on your side. They're on your team. They're not on the side of the insurance company. They don't care about the insurance company. They care about you. Call or text Pinnacle Construction right now. Anything that you would file a claim over, if you need help, Pinnacle Construction is for you. 281-900-3004. You can call that number. You can text that number. 281-900-3004. Or you can just email Doug Johnson. Doug@PinnacleConstructionLLC.net. You can find more information, too, at 975generalcontractor.com. Pinnacle Construction, born and building in Texas with over 20 years of general contracting experience.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is the worst quarterback decision the Houston Texans have made in franchise history? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. I started thinking about this because everybody wants quarterback at 2. Like, people have, I'd rather miss a quarterback than hit at defensive end. What? That doesn't make any sense. I've seen people criticizing the Mario Williams pick over taking Vince Young and taking a shot at quarterback because the Texans didn't win anything after. I've seen J.J. Watt getting, like, strays on this. J.J. Watt was great, but what did he win? Nothing, because he didn't have a quarterback. So you should swing and miss a quarterback versus taking the guarantee defensive end.
He had a quarterback. He just had one that really liked weird massages.
He also had a dude who had a stress fracture in his foot. Like, I think the Texans' best chance of ever, like, making a Super Bowl was closer with Schaub than it was Watson.
Well, I think that a lot of people want to crap on Schaub because they just remember how it ended. But they didn't realize how good he was for a three-year span.
Yeah,
3-year span.
Yeah, and those teams were really good, too. I think teams were better than the Deshaun Watson teams.
The curse of the letter jacket.
Plus, they had Kubiak, who was more likable than O'Brien. Whether you think Kubiak's a better coach than O'Brien or not, probably was. But Kubiak was just more likable, so it's easier to root for them. But if you take a look at the Houston Texans' history, what is the worst quarterback decision the Houston Texans have ever made? 713-780-ESPN. Whether they passed them or whether they took him. Like, you can look at the Jadeveon Clowney draft whenever the Houston Texans had the number one pick and they took Jadeveon Clowney. And, like, Jadeveon Clowney I wouldn't call a bad football player, but he certainly didn't live up to the billing of being the number one pick, and he didn't live up to the billing of being this Lawrence Taylor coming out of South Carolina, number one, like, dude that was just going to dominate the NFL. He's never been that guy. He's never had double-digit sacks in a single year. But the Texans got that pick right. Like, maybe you can go, well, they should have taken Khalil Mack. That really wasn't on the table when the Texans were picking. Khalil Mack probably had a better career than Jadeveon
Clowney.
Plus,
because he went to a small school and the only sample size against a big school was one game against Ohio State, no one was willing to take him that high.
Like, Aaron Donald with 13th in the draft, Aaron Donald was not on the table at the number one pick in the NFL draft. There really wasn't a quarterback on the table at number one. But if we go back and look at Texans history, a situation where they took defensive end over quarterback, well, you have to start with that draft, 2006-2014, when the Texans took Jadeveon Clowney number one. Do you know who the first quarterback taken in that draft was? And he went number three. Like, he went top three. He went in the top three. Like, he was pretty good draft pick. Blake Bortles. Blake Bortles was the draft pick at number three for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So are you telling me because you should swing and miss a quarterback instead of taking the guaranteed best player available that because of the positional importance, you should be taking quarterback no matter what? Well, the Texans would have had Blake Bortles. How would have that worked out for you? When was the other time the Houston Texans had the number one pick and the city was clamoring for quarterback instead of Mario Williams? Mm-hmm. They wanted Vince Young. Who had the better career? Mario Williams easily had the best career. The one time in Houston Texans franchise history where they had a premium draft pick and they went quarterback over defensive end was David Carr. When they went David Carr over Julius Peppers. And Julius Peppers was
Hall
by far the better player over David Carr. So and I'm not even against quarterback at number two. I'm more against feeling like you need to be held hostage to quarterback at number two because the quarterback position is so important that you must swing and miss at quarterback. No, you don't have to do that. And we talk about it all the time. Look at franchise quarterbacks around the NFL. Look how they were acquired. Over half the time, they're not dudes that were taken in the top five. I think that the worst mistake the Texans ever made at the quarterback position is actually about Matt Schaub. Is whenever they let Peyton Manning, who's a free agent, go to Denver.
There's two answers here for me. And the easy one is to say when they traded for Brock or when they acquired Brock Osweiler. Because the sample size was so small, but everybody thought immediately because he was successful in a 6-game span that he was your franchise quarterback. And he was so bad that you had to do so much to not only unload him and convince someone else to take him, but then you had to make another substantial move to get another quarterback to replace him. So I think that's one of the easiest answers. And the other easy answer for me is exactly where you were going, and that's Peyton Manning. As good as Matt Schaub was, Peyton Manning would have made you better. No matter what he still had left in the tank, to take the weapons that he had and be the final piece to take the rest of this squad where it wanted to go, I think that Peyton Manning and the fact that we don't need Peyton Manning because we have Matt Schaub will echo in Texans fans' heads forever. I think those are the two answers.
See, Osweiler actually slipped my mind, embarrassing to say. But that one, I think that one's by far the one that is at least in terms of spending money to get him. Because then you had to also attach draft capital to him to just trade him. Like, not only did you sign him to a big free agent contract, but he played so poorly that you were just trying to get rid of him. And to get rid of him and to get the contract off the books, you had to attach draft picks to his name just to clear the money that you had attached to him off the books. That one's really good. Now, Peyton Manning, I think, is up there. I think Gary Kubiak committing to Matt Schaub over Peyton Manning. And look, Manning didn't have a lot of great years left. Was coming off the neck surgery. You didn't know what Peyton Manning was going to be. But Peyton Manning had a couple pretty good years in Denver. A couple of really good years in Denver before it all went out and he was throwing ducks and still won a Super Bowl when he was throwing ducks. I think if Peyton Manning was brought in instead of Matt Schaub in those glory years for the Houston Texans, I think they might have a Super Bowl. I think they might have a Super Bowl appearance.
I think they might have had an appearance at a Super Bowl. I'm not going to say that it's like the Golden State.
It's hard to say that.
It's like the whole Chris Paul hamstring. Would they have gotten there? Probably. Would they have won it? No guarantees. I think the same thing would be said of Manning. I think this team would have been to a conference championship. They would have been to a Super Bowl. I can't guarantee that they'd have won it, but I believe that with Peyton Manning, they would have gone further and you'd have remembered more because of what he did when he was here for a short sample size.
Carr, Battery Chuck says Carr was actually a good choice. He just got destroyed by his line. They knew the line that they were going to have. They knew the offense. Like, Tony Boselli was obviously a big miss, but they knew that they were going to have an expansion offensive line. Like, how do you not have the foresight of knowing that David Carr is going to be like that? I'm not sure that David Carr was going to be good anyways. Do I think David Carr suffered from a case of PT sack D and it ruined his career? Absolutely. But you have to have the foresight of knowing you're going to have a terrible offensive line and that's going to happen. I think that did ruin David Carr, but there's no way that David Carr was going to be a better player than Julius Peppers. Worst quarterback decision in Houston Texans history.
No, I'm not going to say he was better, right? But I think that to Chuck's point, and I've talked to people that were in the building and kind of went through some of the things with David Carr, you really never were able to see what he could have potentially turned out to be in the NFL because he got crushed so many times, so often. And like you said, the PTSD then at a certain point kicked in to where he was never going to be able to get away from that it altered his entire career. And that's sad because you never really got to see with a decent offensive line what he could have been.
I agree with that, but I'm not going to say that David Carr was actually a good choice. There's no way that was a good choice, even if he got crushed by his offensive line. A general manager knows the offensive line that the quarterback's going to play behind, and then on top of that, he chooses to play the quarterback behind that offensive line.
I would also say, Jeremy, much like, but even more on a grander scale, the pressure to take a quarterback there was unbelievable for the organization. Because, again, you're not supposed to succumb to pressure, and you're supposed to take the BPA.
What was the pressure, though?
Because you know you needed a quarterback, and because from a marketing standpoint, from a franchise standpoint, from a fan base standpoint, oh my God.
If they sold out for 20 straight years, it didn't matter what they did.
With the number one overall pick in the draft, everybody's expectation was, well, this is where you start building the franchise by getting the franchise quarterback, and he's there. And that's why there was so much immense pressure on that organization to make that pick go quarterback versus a defensive player. I think that they would have been crushed. I think that the general manager would have taken a ton of heat. I think that it would have been a massive negative to start the actual first season of the team. And I think they felt it.
And then they would have drafted a Hall of Famer who would have been the best player in franchise history. You can say that, sure. J.J. Watt.
Sure.
Yeah, but, we are. But hindsight.
Right. But I also don't think that I'm wrong in the fact that they would have been crushed for it. They'd have been criticized. The fans would have been pissed off.
But they wouldn't have lost ticket sales. They wouldn't have lost
maybe
merchandise sales. Maybe people were buying more Carr jerseys than Peppers jerseys. But the city of Houston was so happy to have the NFL back. The Texans weren't going to do anything that would have cost people from going to games.
That doesn't matter about going to games. They would have been pissed off. They would have been. This would have been right out of the gates. This would have been something that rubbed people the wrong way, and they would have been, it would have been highly questioned, and it would have been criticized, and it would have been frowned upon. And I don't think they wanted that smoke.
I hate that. I hate that.
But I think I'm right.
I hate if a team is operating with the sense of, oh no, I'm scared what our fans are going to say.
But I told you this.
That's a loser mentality. I don't disagree that it's happened, but I think in year one of an expansion team, like, people are going to show up. They might have been criticized. They might have been, oh, the Texans don't know what they're doing. They're taking a quarterback. They would have been right in hindsight, no doubt about it, and I don't think it would have cost them any butts in the seats. Like, Houston was so jacked up that football was back. They were going to watch an expansion team lose double-digit games year in, year out.
Difference from saying, of course everybody was going to still go to the games. But it would have started out with a black eye and a negative that they didn't need, they didn't want, and they were very, very aware of. Let's put it that way.
And that's being a loser.
No question.
If you're worried
with that, but I know the Rockets did it. I know the Texans did it.
If you're worried about the media crushing you over a draft pick, Well, you're going to lose a lot of football games. Maybe that's why they lost a lot of football games. 713-780-ESPN. What do you think is the worst Houston Texans quarterback move in franchise history? 713-780-3776. Also, our dear friend, Rob Manfred, who we love on this show, very full of some very bad ideas. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What is the Texans' worst quarterback move in franchise history? I think the most popular answer is Brock Osweiler that we've seen so far. There are some votes for picking Matt Schaub over Peyton Manning, which Schaub was the pick for Gary Kubiak. You have one that comes to mind to you, Joe George?
I know he's never won a playoff game, but he's been a pretty good quarterback in the NFL since he got in the league. But because of his last name, he wasn't going to be here. But taking Xavier Suofilo in 2014 over Derek Carr in the second round is a big miss. They got a terrible player, yep. A, and B, like they could have had someone that stabilize the franchise. Now, yes, that leads you away from Watson in 2017 and the domino effect after that, but Derek Carr is a much better solution in 2014 than what the Texans had. So I would throw that one in there, too.
That's a good call. I think that's right, because Xavier Suofilo, regardless, was a really bad pick and turned out just really awful. But you're right. Exactly why they didn't take him was not because of the potential of the player from a football perspective. Mm-hmm. It was because of the last name.
No doubt. There's no doubt about it. That one's up there. I don't think it's in the same mold as the Manning, passing on Manning and Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler was historically bad.
No, but it's
Peyton
on the
Manning
list.
Manning would have been what could have been historically good.
I think, and this is more just the generalization of that era of Texans football, post-Matt Schaub, pre-Deshaun Watson. Like they just failed as a franchise. They did nothing. They went T.J. Yates, Ryan Fitzpatrick, like all these mediocre, bad quarterbacks, and they just
Tom Savage.
For, what, 6-7 years, they just did nothing with the position. They never were aggressive, tried to acquire someone, never moved up in the draft.
And then you got O'Brien, and he went through all those expatriate quarterbacks.
Exactly.
And you got Hoyer, and then Mallett, who couldn't even get his alarm clock to work right and couldn't do wrong right.
Yeah.
But yet they kept trying and swinging and missing and believing.
Like it's almost like what the 49ers are doing now, but they've got an actual offensive genius, so where they can plug and play a quarterback like Brock Purdy and think he's a franchise guy when in reality he's probably a franchise quarterback on one out of 32 teams, and that's San Francisco. But
he could play for the Bears.
No. He'd be awful. Like, he's not a good – I don't think Brock Purdy's a good quarterback.
Well, but like we talk about all the time, system matters, right?
Yeah.
You've got to have the right quarterback for the right system.
Like, they're not going to
pay him.
Or
make the right system fit the quarterback you have.
Yeah, like, I almost guarantee you they will not pay Brock Purdy. Like, when his time runs up, they will just let him go. Well, and they will find the next rookie quarterback, cheap veteran – like a Jimmy Garoppolo, and just plug the next guy in.
But will they win a Super Bowl?
See, I think they will.
If you just like it's like the old Texans mentality. We're winning divisions or making playoffs and winning a playoff game. Is that good enough? Because I think that the Niners have higher expectations, and I don't think just doing that. And I'm not saying you're wrong.
No, I think you're right. But I think the big difference is that like you could argue if Brock Purdy's healthy, the way they were playing. That game versus the Eagles is way more competitive.
Sure, Jimmy
Garoppolo has had major health problems. So if they get a guy that can stay healthy, is this team Super Bowl caliber? I think the answer is yes, but health has been their biggest issue.
But that's why I say, would they win anything? Would they win it all? Because the question then becomes, are you wasting the talent around the quarterback position if that's your mentality? If your mentality is, we're just going to plug and play next guy up because we have so much talent around him, but at the same time, when you look back at it, are you going to say, boy, but if we had just taken the flyer or done the right thing and gotten one right guy in there, we might have multiple championships.
But they did. They traded 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance.
And they missed. That shouldn't preclude them from going after another one.
And I don't think it will. Like I think this Mike Florio report that the Vikings and the 49ers had conversations about Trey Lance is really interesting. Because do you think there's a better chance that Brock Purdy's the opening day quarterback in 2024 for the 49ers or someone like Kirk Cousins, who'll be a free agent?
I think Purdy.
Really?
Yeah, see, I think they're committed to Purdy, but I think they're fascinated with the rookie contract to Purdy. What's that?
He said opening day.
He said opening day 24.
Yeah, 24.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to sign. I don't think they want to spend money on a mediocre quarterback when they have a mediocre quarterback for free. Like, they have him on a rookie deal. Now, I agree with you guys. I don't think Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl in San Francisco. I don't think Brock Purdy wins the Super Bowl as the starting quarterback, like, at the whole season. Could he fill in a Super Bowl as a Frank Reich-type quarterback and lift you like Nick Foles, maybe? I don't think that Brock Purdy's QB1 on a Super Bowl champion, period. Even in San Francisco.
I'm not sure, to Joe's point, Brock Purdy's a QB1 anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think he is.
I think he's a top 30 quarterback.
I think he's a, what's his name, that's the Chase Daniels. I think he'd be a Chase Daniels and be just a really well-paid backup.
See, I think he can be Jimmy G. I think he can be a top 30, top 25 quarterback.
I think it's like, I'll give him a step up from Chase Daniels.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Josh McCown.
He deserves to be an NFL starter.
Like Josh McCown was a good quarterback when he would play, but he wasn't really a starter, and he had success in moments. Like, I just, Kyle Shanahan's offense is so good, and you look at the weapons, there's probably no team in the NFL besides, like, the Dolphins, the Bengals, that have a better set of weapons than them, and maybe the Eagles. Like, they George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Christian
great
McCaffrey.
Offensive line.
A great offensive line, a great defense. Like, I don't think we can really evaluate Brock Purdy what he is. I know it's a great story.
Probably.
Like, what if Sam Darnold balls for the first four games for them?
Yeah.
Like, would it shock you if they just kept running with Sam Darnold? No, that's kind of how they operate.
No, but I think, because I think, look, I think if the question was 2023, I think their concern is they don't want to be on the hook long term, but financially, and I don't know what their books look like, but if they could swing a deal so that they had Kirk Cousins just for this season, just so they had a better than average guy for 1 year that you're not committed long term financially to, that could get you through to the next level journey that you're going to take to figure out who your next quarterback is going to be long term, I think they would be all for that because I think Kirk Cousins gives them a better chance to win than anybody they have on their roster right now.
Brock Purdy?
Yeah. Cousins gives you a better chance than Brock Purdy.
I disagree.
Why?
Because Kirk Cousins is filled with mistakes. Kirk Cousins makes tons of errors. Like, Brock Purdy doesn't. Like, Brock Purdy's not going to make a sensational play where Kirk Cousins might. Kirk Cousins has a bigger arm. But the reason they love Purdy is because it keeps them on schedule. They have a really good offense. He doesn't turn it over, doesn't make poor decisions, complete passes. It is the point guard of an offense. Kirk Cousins is a, like, more talented quarterback, but he's also more error-prone.
But I think 1 year, he's more seasoned. He's seen more and done more in terms of the running the quarterback position on the intangible side of being able to make the right reads and understand the defenses and do the things that Purdy's still learning. And they're not looking for him for 2 or 3 years. They're just looking for him to bridge the gap. One, because Purdy's hurt. Two, because of the fact that they don't want to commit to a guy right now like Lamar or someone where they got to overspend and give up a lot of assets to get. And I think that it keeps the rest of the Super Bowl talented roster in a position to win in a bad NFC.
713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Worst Texans quarterback miss in franchise history. Troy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. What's going on, Troy?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, Joe, if you'll remember back all the times I'd call in and bash our boy Brock Asswater, he was by far the worst decision the Texans ever made. I'll hang up and listen, guys. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Troy. Haven't heard from you in a while, buddy. Don't be a stranger. Yeah, he's not a big fan of Brock.
They won a playoff game with Brock as Lamont texts us and lets us know.
So?
Won a playoff game.
Okay. So there's a lot of T.J. Yates won a playoff game.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. So there you go. Touche.
I wonder what could have been, though, with Manning. If they signed Manning, what happens those years?
It's hard to say that that's not one of the biggest mistakes ever.
Because think about the weapons he had and where those weapons were in their career.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was prime time.
I would have loved to see it.
Like, well, and look what happened when he got to Denver. Like players flocked to Denver.
His first, like, what was it, 2 or 3 years in Denver, he was amazing.
Oh, he was
elite.
That first Super Bowl they went to and lost, like, he was still the best quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, I remember the fantasy numbers for those Broncos teams were
unreal.
Unbelievable. And then he had some more issues and then forgot how to throw. 9451, where's the Watson debacle land as far as potential and setback? The Texans didn't end up that bad from Deshaun Watson.
No, the Texans
really didn't.
The Texans think got
about
it, right.
Well, because think about it. It goes back to what I said when I put Osweiler on the list. Because he immediately bailed them out of one of the biggest debacles in franchise history in the misstep of Brock Osweiler. He immediately gave you hope, thinking you got the franchise quarterback, and made you start forgetting how big of a hiccup and misstep that whole thing was. So he came in right away before he even played it down as a guy that looked like he could be the savior. And then he didn't play badly. Yeah, they played bad football. They didn't have a great record. But he played well enough for people to believe he could be a top 10 quarterback. He could be better than that. And everybody was buying in. So then the way it ended is just so tragic because he was basically saving their bacon for all the missteps of Rick Smith and Brock Osweiler.
Yeah. And I mean, he did get you 3 first round draft picks too. Like you've been able to recoup 3 first round draft picks for Deshaun Watson, whereas Brock Osweiler, you paid him big money and had attached draft picks to get him out of town.
And that's great, but now can any one of those picks play a part in getting you the next franchise quarterback?
I feel like that should be 2 different conversations, though.
It can be, but I'm just saying, but you know most people are going to lump it in.
Probably. 713-780-3776. It's Weird Take Wednesday. All your weirdest takes with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.